Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gets the snap on first down. Henderson running right side, hits his own 35, gets to the 40, down the right sideline to the Oregon 40 goes Henderson, to the 30 of the Ducks, to the 20, to the 10, to the house, Travion Henderson, right around the right side, and his ninth rushing touchdown of the year. That one's 66 yards to the end zone. And how about this Ohio State offense, who's jumped in front of Oregon 30 to nothing.
A thriller followed by a snoozer. Good morning, Metroplex. Entire morning team back together again. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider and Longhorn lover Bobby Roberto Belt. Oh, my goodness. The number one seed thrashed by Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes. This an absolute beatdown to set up the Longhorns and Ohio State with what happened yesterday at the Rose Bowl.
It is obvious. Oregon did not deserve to be in the playoff.
Yep, that's the takeaway.
That's the takeaway you get from this one. The score of this game does not remotely indicate the thrashing that it was. It was 42-17. That was the Tennessee Ohio State score. The Ohio State Oregon score was essentially the same thing. Essentially the same thing. Because they absolutely destroyed.
Wow.
Destroyed Oregon in a game that was not even as close as the 41-21 score.
This was 14-0 quickly. Will Howard was throwing dimes. 24-0 after everyone's new Julio Jones. Jeremiah Smith had the bomb. The 66-yard rush made it 31-0. Chip Kelly getting all the praise in his bag against his former team. We were a good portion of this game into the second quarter, Oregon hadn't crossed the 50. Touchdown at the end of the half, and I said, all right, I'm going to watch the first possession, and if Oregon scores, I'll keep it around. They score, they get to about 34-15, and then it couldn't get really closer after that.
They you know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Ohio State scored, and it made it 41-15, and then Oregon gets another score in the fourth quarter, but Ohio State is playing a level of football that they haven't played all year.
Did both of you pick Oregon to win it all?
I did.
I think before the thing, yeah. Then like I bet Ohio State minus the 2.5. I thought because this before Ohio State played Tennessee, they really seemed like they got refocused in that Michigan game.
Bobby, how scary is this?
I mean, this is pretty terrifying because Ohio State's been We talked about it leading into the playoff. Ohio State is the most just naturally talented team in the CFP. They're the most talented team in college football. The problem is they never lock in. They're never focused. Ryan Day has issues in big games, and so it was like, all right, why do I think you're going to snap out of the beating you got by Michigan, the way you just got bullied by them, all the stuff, all the fallout after that? There's nothing that tells me you're going to be able to bounce back. So they deserve a ton of credit for locking in and focusing and doing what they've done. And that's terrifying going into Texas, going up against Texas in the Cotton Bowl game, because that means that you're getting a locked-in Ohio State team, which is one of the few teams in the country that can say, line up against Texas, we have more talent than you.
And you think Michigan deserves some thank you?
I think Michigan should get half the trophy when Ohio State wins this whole thing. They should send half that trophy to Ann Arbor, cut it in half, do what you get, send them a replica. Send them a replica for all I care, because that there is no doubt that absolutely reinvigorated Ohio State. And now they're going to wind up being a touchdown favorite when this thing is all said and done against Texas.
Probably.
Before this whole playoff tournament started, the Texas-Ohio State game was going to be a pick 'em. It was going to be about a pick 'em. And the line would have been shifted that much. Now, some of that's going to be perception, right? And the hype. And you always fade hype. But Texas did not play great yesterday, thankfully, because it's the only good game we've got in the entire playoff. And it was only because they fell asleep. That game had a chance to be a dog walk, too. And now Ohio State's last two games, coupled with Texas not playing tremendous, now you've got a completely different spread.
You guys were examining the different point spreads out for this game coming up.
Because what was the you were ready to fight somebody last night on Twitter.
I did.
Yeah, he did. He's quote tweeting guys and taking shots that said, "Sit this one out, champ." That's what Choppy said to somebody on Twitter last night.
Yeah, so Colin Wilson, Colin Wilson is the guy that Brett McMurphy. Now, Brett, I believe, is the most plugged-in college guy.
He's the SMU leaker.
He is the SMU leaker. I believe he's the most plugged-in of all of them. And he uses this guy named Colin Wilson to do all of his spreads. And he said the projected spread via Colin is Texas -2.
Favored?
Favored. And I quote tweeted Brett. I said, you might want to find a new handicapper fan.
Yeah.
And then I went right to Colin because he said.
Oh, you went to Colin. Colin didn't respond to you. You went to Colin.
I went to Colin because he said one team has been
complete. New energy 2025.
That's right. He said one team has been complete all season. One team just figured it out. I'll let the market dictate the number and come in after a deep dive. But he had already said -2. And I was like, you might want to sit this one out. You're about to be off by a TD on the line, which he was. I mean, it's a 5-point spread. He's up by a touchdown.
Did he respond to you?
No.
Okay.
No. He ignored him. He was like, no, because what is he? He's a bet MGM or whatever. He's a rival of Chop.
Yeah. Jeremiah Smith is now like the number one name of the CFP. It was Ryan Williams, the receiver everyone was talking about earlier in the year until my Commodores put him in his place.
Well.
And now it's Jeremiah Smith, Julio Jones 2.0. T.O., people are saying just throw it up to him as often as possible.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Lanning said yesterday after the game, he's like, yeah, that guy's pro ready. He could go walk into the NFL now.
I think we're going to have to wait 2 more years.
Yeah, they have him for 2 more years.
Yep.
You might – look, we just saw the Duke quarterback at $4 million for the year. You might see him be the highest paid non-quarterback.
He's he was the number one recruit in the country. He was the top prospect, and he's absolutely lived up to every bit of it so far.
Should and will this end all the Ryan Day noise?
Yeah.
Even if they lose to Texas.
Yes.
It should, but let me tell you this. They could win the title, and there's a number of Ohio State fans who will still look at the year as a failure because they didn't beat Michigan.
He will not get pushed out, though, now.
No.
If he loses to Tennessee, he gets pushed out. If he loses to Oregon yesterday, maybe it's a question. He doesn't get pushed out.
No, he is entrenched, probably get a contract extension.
Today at 3 p.m. is good for us timing-wise because I was ready to shut it down and not stay up for a 7:45 or 8 o'clock start, but it's going to be the postponed Sugar Bowl, we think, between Georgia and Notre Dame after what happened in New Orleans at 3 a.m. with a car driving into a crowd of people, killing now 15. I saw it at 10 and like 30 injured. Now I guess it's up to about 15 with what happened on New Year's.
Yeah, it's just awful. And they're still finding out new information. Apparently this guy had body armor on. I mean, he was in a truck. I mean, just running through people. Because Bourbon Street, you know, there's no cars. There's no cars on Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
And it's
like little side streets.
Yeah, and I don't even know how he got through. But because there's barricades. There's barricades there. They get those big giant barricades. I mean, it's just tragic. Now, this is the right decision, you know. Like, it's safety
yesterday
first.
You let the terrorists win. You let the terrorists win by delaying the game, yeah, and pushing it back.
I know it's not. It's not competition here, you know. Like, it's like safety first. Because the police department initially said that the game is going to be on 8 o'clock yesterday morning. The game is on.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, did the FBI step in and were like, guys, you ain't playing this football game?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I mean, Biden talked yesterday and said, you know, talked about a lot of different things where they're investigating it as a terror attack, and there's all these different layers to it where they think.
Because if you don't know it's an isolated thing, then you gotta exercise caution.
Well, because
you don't know there's other factors and other people.
So they successfully defused 2 bombs or 2 explosives of some sort around there. They had the driving into the group of people, and what they found later, what Biden said he was told by the FBI was that they believe he was radicalized by ISIS videos and different things like that.
42-year-old Shamsud Din Jabbar, ISIS flag or sticker on his car. This guy's from Texas, actually. Served in the Army, and I believe he's from Beaumont. So ISIS flag on there. They do not believe he was solely responsible. Trying to track down other things. He, in 2020 on YouTube, apparently, born in Beaumont, yes, confirmed, Worked in real estate in the Houston area, had been married and divorced twice, has at least two kids. A man who is now married to his first wife told the New York Times recently converted to Islam and began acting all crazy. The ex-wife said, "You can no longer see our 15 and 20 year old daughters. You're forbidden from seeing them." His second wife filed for divorce in 2020 and was granted a restraining order against him. So he got out of the car apparently with gunfire. So he got shot dead. So that's how they instantly knew, all right, this was on purpose.
Yeah, and they found that there's like, I saw reports that there's some cell in College Station area that like an ISIS cell they're worried about, which I mean we've heard that there's been there's maybe some Chinese spies that live amongst us. I mean it wouldn't surprise anyone to find out that there's cells of terrorists that live somewhere in the U.S. This is beyond anything though. I mean that just terrible.
Yeah, and I mean look. Radicalization happens.
That's an army vet. You radicalize. You're able to radicalize an army vet.
Yeah, which I mean, we've seen instances of that happen before. Because I mean, it's when you've got as many people as you do and as many messages as you do and different things like that. Like you're going to have radicalization in certain parts. And make no mistake about it. Like this is a radicalization and an absolute tragedy and an awful attack that occurred. But I'm gonna be. Going to be fascinated to see what kind of political football this turns into moving forward, too, for them.
Choppy, Bobby has Notre Dame advancing today. How are you feeling about the Sugar Bowl?
I don't know how Notre Dame scores.
Defensively, probably several times.
Yeah. I think the under is the play here. I took George in the points. I think it's two. I think I got it at two. But now it's up to Notre Dame's a favorite. I saw last night Notre Dame's favored by 1.5.
I mean, you've got
this is a live bet for me. I think
look, just the I don't think anybody trusts what George has got at quarterback right now.
No.
And what Notre Dame has shown they're able to do defensively all year. That's enough for me to say. I would bet. I'll say this. I'm assuming Notre Dame does score at least one touchdown on defense in this game. I think they score at least one defensive touchdown.
If they do, then they might win. Because I think they're going to need a defensive score to win this game. Because Georgia's defense is very, very good. I think the under's in play. This is a live. I'm going to bet this one live. I'm hoping Notre Dame gets the kick and gets the touchdown on the first drive. Because that would probably go to Georgia +4. And that would just, I would hammer it then.
How are you feeling, Choppy? A lot of talk about this format. A lot of talk about the chalk. Mm-hmm. A lot of talk about reseeding conference champs. After the second weekend of playoff games, how are you feeling about it?
I think the one thing that has been proven here is that all these teams that have lost, that's not a referendum on them not deserving to be there. What it has shown is that there are two tiers in college football. You are a tier one team or you're not. And everybody who's in the or not category really has been exposed here in the last 2 weeks. From SMU to Boise to Tennessee to Clemson. I mean, those are good teams. Those are legitimately deserving good football teams. They played teams that were just on tier one. Now you could argue that Penn State and Notre Dame might not be on the same tier as Ohio State, right? Or Georgia, if sure. Georgia's healthy. But it doesn't matter. They're on a different tier than the other teams. There's tier one, and also home field means so much, and we saw that in the first round. Home field is not worth 3 points in college football; it's worth 23 points in college football.
Cowboy fans have voted on what they want to see happen at head coach, and RJ Choppy is back to defend his boy Mike McCarthy and his Cowboy return. The commercial-free expressway, including a neighborhood watch. That may have you in tears on this Thursday. Don't miss the commercial-free expressway next. This is the commercial-free expressway. Happy New Year, everyone. Sean Treef, RJ Choppy back with us, and Bobby Belt as well, along with Pepe, live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. You are not going to ever forget the Neighborhood Watch segment that is coming up here in a matter of minutes. We got Power Rankings Thursday edition at 8 and Babe Laufenberg at 8:40 to preview the Cowboys' final regular season game of the year Sunday against one of his former teams. But a lot of Mike McCarthy noise, Ralph. And yeah. You've been out for a little bit. So I'd like to start there and get your thoughts on where things stand and what you would like to see and what you think is going to happen. Mike McCarthy tomorrow for the final time with us, maybe ever, at 6:30 on The Fan.
So a couple of weeks ago, I was, you know, we were all in the 5%-ish.
Yeah.
I'm at about 85% now that he's back.
Yeah, Bobby with the biggest percentage jump in show history, going from 2 to 70. 2 to 70.
So you're at 70% that he's back.
Maybe even higher?
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, I guess. Yes. I genuinely, I'm at 70.
Why are you hesitating?
Because Jerry is very effective at the way of like, what are y'all talking about? Which way are y'all going? Okay, I'm gonna talk in a way that maybe you think it's the other one now. And so it's just that whole.
So Tuesday with us kind of bounced you back?
No, like I said, I'm at 70. I'm just gonna try to commit to 70. But like I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, but I would say more likely than not.
Did you get anything from Jerry with us on Tuesday talking about it? I got nothing.
Nothing. I like Mike. I like Mike. I think Mike's a good coach. I don't think Mike is, I don't think he's the problem here. I think there's a lot of problems here. He could be one of the problems. Is he a coaching advantage? I don't know. The question that you have is, if you move on from him, are you going to get a better coach? Are you getting the guy you want? Bill's already gone at Carolina. Vrabel is not. I don't think they're going to hire Vrabel.
Why?
Because I don't think he wants the job. I think he wants New England.
Completely disagree about that, though. I think he absolutely would want this job.
Well, would he want the job because this is a job that he craves, or would he want the job because he wants a job?
No, he wants...
Like McCarthy, right? McCarthy want this job, or did he want a job?
No, I think Vrabel absolutely views Dallas as that's one of the spots that you hold up as a pinnacle in the NFL.
I get that. Sure.
And he has good relationships with the Joneses. That's a guy who will make stops on the bus in Indy.
But you've seen Vrabel connection with Chicago, with the Jets.
Ohio State. New England, obviously. Yeah.
It shows you the flukiness of this league. 1 year later, he was available for everyone last year.
Everyone.
One year later, now everyone wants, it's amazing how the hype cycle works.
Plus, what's Vrabel ever, like, what is Mike Vrabel as a coach? He's not an elite play caller. Nobody thinks, you know, he's not anything. He's a CEO kind of guy.
Yeah.
People think he can be Dan Campbell. That's what.
Yeah, but he wasn't Dan Campbell in Tennessee.
Man, he got Tennessee to an AFC title game, and they've been pretty piss poor since then.
I always blame the Titans situation on the roster. Like, that is the most boring.
It's a very boring
get
roster.
Out of the league roster. No quarterback. What's the best quarterback he had was Tannehill.
Yep.
Like, he's never had
Tannehill
to me.
Played well, but that's it. I mean, that's all he had. He didn't have anything. A.J. Brown.
Yeah. Right, which he fought like hell for them not to trade A.J. Brown.
Like, name the top five best players Mike Vrabel had in Tennessee.
No, Henry, A.J.
Henry, A.J.
Byard.
Was Frank Wycheck playing by that time? no, like, but honestly, Byard.
And
Byard,
who's
Henry,
the D lineman who slapped?
Jarrell Casey. Like, I mean, you had, like, if it's not a bunch of, right. they don't have a bunch of stars. And he had them, but they were the one seed 1 year. They went to the AFC title game another time. Like, I think it's pretty, I made the comparison to Chubb. It's a little like what Joe Girardi was with the Marlins. Remember when the Marlins were, they were okay, but people were like, it's a miracle Joe Girardi got them to there. And so he became the hottest coaching candidate when he was free. Yankees hired him. But I think that's the state that he's in, where people just give him so much credit for, you did anything there. It's impressive.
Yeah. So
should we make anything of zero reported media connections to any other coach? Cowboys are interested in. Cowboys are inquiring. Because to me, it's been 1,000% dead silence on that front.
Right.
Do we make anything of that?
No, because I think if you go back and look at when they let Garrett go, they let his contract run out, there was not talk about McCarthy until they were interviewing him. Like, he wasn't the name that was being discussed. People were throwing out all sorts, like, ooh, would they want Urban Meyer? Would they be interested in this guy? And that, like, people were suggesting stuff that they were just trying to connect dots, but it turned out in the end, McCarthy was who they were going to interview, and that's who they ended up wanting.
That's it. I mean, they did two interviews.
And same sort of thing as Vrabel, where he'd been out of a job for 2 years, and he was free, and they could have talked to him if they wanted.
Yeah, so, like, to me, if you're not going to get Vrabel, and you're not going to get Bill, you're just making a change to make a change. And How much should, do the players like?
Should we view this differently for, like, from a relationship? If this was one of my friends in a crappy relationship and they said back to me, well, who else am I going to get better? I would say that should not even be a factor in your mind. You'll find someone. You have to get out of the relationship. She, he sucks. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's toxic. It's not going to work. Or is that totally different because you do have to marry someone within a matter of months?
Yeah, you got to marry someone in several, not a matter of months, in a couple of weeks, right? Because you really want to, if you're going to fire your head coach, you want to have a new head coach in place by February 1st.
Because I hate making decisions in life based feeling trapped.
Right.
Based off of, well, who else am I going to get? And is it just a matter, you can look at it with your job, right? Some people have the balls and the stones, which I respect in many instances, to just quit their job because they hate it. And they're like, I'll find something. My dad has always drilled in my head, like, you ain't quitting until you know what the safety net is. Yeah. You better not leave until you know what the other opportunity is or who the next person is you're working for.
Right. It's, you know, and like, you know, because
I know deep down, in my opinion, I know deep down, I believe McCarthy's not the guy that they can win a Super Bowl with. I agree with you. There's a lot of other problems. What I've always said about Mike isn't good enough to overcome those things. And you got to operate in life with the way things are. Jerry and Steven aren't leaving.
They're not.
They're not leaving. So you have to. So then the goal has to become finding someone within your search that's good enough to overcome what you believe Jerry and Steven's problems and issues are. Mike's not that guy for me. Apologizing to McCarthy's and listening, Mike tomorrow. I'm just being honest about it. That's the way I believe.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you say, are they going to find anybody better? Wasn't that the exact thing you pushed back against whenever we're talking about extending Dak? Like, you can't think like that. You need to go just find, you need to see if you can find it. Whether you think that's likely or not that you're going to find somebody better.
That's the thing with Dak, though, is like, that's a salary cap issue.
Okay,
too.
Then let's adjust a little. You said you don't know if Mike gives them a coaching advantage, right?
Yeah, I think Mike is a slightly above league average coach.
But you don't know on a game to game basis if he gives you an advantage, right?
Right, like a technical tactical advantage.
Do you think it should be that difficult to find somebody who could?
I mean, apparently it is. Look around the league.
But I mean,
you got teams. I mean, how many teams have a coach that is the coach of their team that was there pre-COVID?
A lot of turnover.
You know, these teams, like, none of these organizations know what they're doing. just go look at the draft. Like, none of these, the teams that are picking the top 10 are always picking in the top 10. Like, yeah, Michael,
it's true.
It's amazing. Like, I'm actually becoming a bigger Michael Lombardi fan than you are now. Like, just, he's completely, because he's right about how the league sucks. And he's right about that. Like, none of these teams know what the hell they're doing.
Let's just look at teams that are currently in the playoffs. And I'm just going to, the ones who are actually in who have clinched. You tell me if you think they give the coaching advantage or not, generally. Sean McVay and the Rams.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur and the Packers.
Yes.
Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. 1,000,000%.
Dan Campbell and the Lions.
I don't know if it's because of him.
The tactical may be the aggression fourth down, but
no one gives Dan Campbell credit for Ben. It's Ben Johnson.
Ben
right?
Johnson's a genius.
It's Ben Johnson for that, but it is absolutely. I think culture and knowing loopholes around
it's a culture advantage.
Yeah, and rule loopholes and stuff like that. Yeah. Dan Campbell does study those things. I think that's a tactical advantage.
I think Mike gives is a good culture coach. Generally,
they've had 2 years where it was really in question. So I mean, I don't know. Washington, Dan Quinn.
I don't think so.
I think we all talked.
They're really good because they've got a tremendous quarterback.
I mean, I think that's a little revisionist history, though, to say doesn't give them an advantage because we all talked about for 3 years here, he got the most out of their defensive players for the most part.
Yeah.
Where they didn't get that previously.
Good defensive mind.
Sirianni, I don't think so. Okay, so there's one, but they got Big Dom. So you guys remember that. Jim Harbaugh.
Yes.
I think so.
I think he's a culture guy.
He is a culture guy.
When I think of coaching advantage, I'm thinking Shanahan, McVay. Stuff okay. Like
that. I also think of coaching advantage of like he has done a really good. Jesse Minter, their defensive coordinator, is a genius, and he's brought that guy along.
Okay.
Andy Reid.
Yes.
D'Amico Ryans.
No.
Culture guy.
Man, I think tactically what he did with San Francisco defensively, and now what they've been able to do in Houston with their defense, I think he's I think he's good.
I'm not saying he's not a good coach, and I wouldn't like to have him. I don't think, oh, my God, he's going to scheme the crap out of you. Good defense. I'm not thinking instant yes.
Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh.
Culture guy.
Yeah.
To me, Tomlin and McCarthy are the same thing.
This stopped me down last night. This. I was in such a cruise control mode, and then I read this in Choppy's email.
Right, so I do my BetQL show with a guy from Pittsburgh.
Oh, do you guys drink bidet water too?
We do not drink bidet water. Like, so if you just go back and look at the resumes, there's not a single organization other than Pittsburgh that keeps Mike Tomlin since 2007. He took over in 07. He wins the Super Bowl in 08, missed the playoffs the next year, lost the Super Bowl in 2010. And then these are the next 15 years, okay? These are the next 15 years. Lost the wild card. 8-8. 8-8. Lost the wild card. Won the wild card, lost the division round. Lost the AFC championship game. One and done. Missed playoffs. Lost wild card. Missed playoffs. Lost wild card. And this year, they're going to be one and done again.
And that was starting from what year?
Those were since 2010, so they lose the Super Bowl.
Why are you sure they're going to be one and done?
Because they're awful.
So they're awful. Okay, let's operate from that assumption.
They're going to be one.
Dallas. We've talked about one of the more talented teams in football. Why are Dallas and Pittsburgh in similar circumstances a lot of the time then, where one team you think is awful and the other team you think is one of the better rosters in football? That right there says Mike McCarthy and Mike Tomlin aren't the same coach.
They're awful from the standpoint of, like, they're not capable of beating good teams.
Russell Wilson has a better record. He's got a winning record right now, and he didn't the 3 years before that in different systems with different coaches that are praised very highly. Justin Fields won more games than after everybody had said he couldn't win games. Mason Rudolph had a career winning record.
McCarthy just won. He's 9-4 with Cooper Rush, or I guess 9-5.
I know. But without Cooper Rush, for instance, right? We're talking about, why is this team underachieving? There's never been an underachieving question with Pittsburgh while Tomlin's been there.
That's perception of the roster, because this
your
roster.
Own perception of the roster. Right,
of course, but this roster gets overrated every year. Every year it gets overrated. It's a top heavy. It's the term that Sean used, house of cards, is this organization's roster in a nutshell for 15 years now.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, Tomlin has zero losing records in his entire career in Pittsburgh. Mike has 2 in 5 years.
Are you saying that Mike Tomlin has just severely underachieved in the postseason?
I mean, he has. Yeah. Do I think Mike Tomlin should be fired? No, I don't. I don't. I don't think Tomlin should be fired. I'm just saying, like, any other organization, when the last handful of years were missed playoffs, lost wild card, missed playoffs, lost wild card. That's 6 years, and now we're going into the seventh. And you haven't been out of the first round in 7 years, well, more than 8 years, and you've missed the playoffs in half of them almost.
But everyone thinks it's overachieving, including you.
But again, that's perception, because we overrate the Dallas Cowboys roster.
But it's your own perception. So what I'm saying is, by your own perception,
this, like, gritty, gutty.
Yeah. So by your own measure, though, by your own perception, I'm not talking about league-wide perception. I'm talking about what you perceive Pittsburgh to be. They overperform. Dallas is performing about at that level of what you believe their roster talent.
Right. Put Tomlin, McCarthy, and Sean Payton in order.
Ooh. Sean Payton's first.
Okay.
I generally would put Sean first.
Okay.
And then probably Tomlin, then McCarthy.
But you think it's really close?
Yeah, I think Sean Payton's like,
but Tomlin and McCarthy are close.
Are closer. I think Tomlin and McCarthy are closer than Payton and Tomlin.
Do you think Tomlin's a Hall of Famer?
He got to win another
one. In your Hall of Fame.
I can't put a coach in with one title. I think you need two.
Okay. All right.
He only has one. He's been back to another.
Right. Yeah, I think you need two.
John Machado put up a poll question. Who would you most like to see coaching the Cowboys in 2025? The options: McCarthy, Ben Johnson, Mike Vrabel, other. The winner, of course, of this was
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson. 6,000 votes, 64% voting Ben Johnson.
The
unfortunate thing is, I don't think even if they move on from McCarthy, they would ever go down that road. Because I don't think Jerry wants to hire.
Either.
I don't think he wants to hire a guy to learn the job.
16.5% voted Vrabel, 9.5% voted McCarthy, 10% said other.
So McCarthy was last.
He was last. He was last.
So 91% said, give me literally anybody else.
877-881-1053 is the Frank LaFranco injury attorney text line. I won't go into too much detail here because I don't want to, you know, betray trust. There was a group of people who we usually trust that believed Jerry's interview with us on Tuesday was bad news for McCarthy. I got alerted to this like later on in the day, and I was like, what? Really? Like, and again, we're all just trying to judge word salad, but Ed Werder had tweeted something, and then there were some other people in the media who were trying to read through the tea leaves, and they took it as a negative endorsement for McCarthy. And it got me to thinking, I think like Bobby, it caused you to second, third, fourth guess yourself. And I was thinking, what's the one way that Jerry Jones could reinvigorate us or get us really, really excited? And that would be quick hitting news of we're moving on from Mike. Bam, here's the next guy. And it makes me wonder, is Jerry up to something? Because to have us relive and repeat all this into another offseason, I just find that really, really hard to believe. I do. Now, the other option, Choppy, that we went over the other day, I keep on wanting to say Friday. Like we're on a new
I know. This felt like Sunday yesterday.
Yeah.
It really did.
How would you feel if McCarthy was kept around as a CEO and they went and got like a hotshot OC, like the second coming of Kellen Moore?
Totally fine. Yeah, I generally think I don't want Mike to be the play caller next year. I don't want to run his offense. But I generally think, like, from a CEO perspective, I think he's a pretty good coach. I think he's a good culture guy. He keeps him on task. Does he do anything elite offensively? No. I think his scheme is outdated. Bring in a hotshot younger guy. Somebody who broke wind in the vicinity of Sean McVay.
Does he have to... I'll ask this of both of you. If they say you're back, but you got an offensive coordinator, does he have to, do you say, like, you can't be involved in this? Or do they say, you're back, we're picking an offensive coordinator, but you can have a hand in who we're picking? Or do you say, no, you're completely divorced from this. We're picking an offensive coordinator because you would influence it too much and make it more like what you want.
We're picking. Because I don't want the cookbook around.
Yeah.
So it's got to be new recipes.
Let the team pick. You know, if it's down to two or three guys, you know, like that have a similar, they all have the same, they're all from the same tree.
Yeah.
Pick the tree you want to pick the apple from, and then let him pick the apple from that tree. Because he has to be able to work with the guy.
Power rankings at 8 o'clock, Babe Laufenberg at 8:40. Let's get to it.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
A very unique one-time edition of the Neighborhood Watch starts off like that because Bobby usually runs and leads this. We are going to start off with everyone's New Year's Eve recaps, and we have to start with Ralph James Choppy.
All right, so let's start a couple of days before New Year's Eve. This was, I guess, on Saturday. My mom sent a text. So my older sister was in town. My mom sent a text to me and my younger sister, said, hey, go see Dad. He's starting to look pretty bad. And my first reaction was, where you been? Right? Where you been?
Because for how long he's been dealing with what?
He's got dementia. He's been in a home for a couple of years now, and he has been essentially bedridden, where they haven't even taken him out to, you know, go into the main room that they have. Probably in about 10 days prior to that, they had stopped feeding him. Every time he would eat, he would choke. They had pureed his food, which is, by the way, it's disgusting. They gave him water that puts a little bit of thickening agent in it to make it less likely to choke. It's like a gel. It's very disgusting. I don't know how he drinks it. So he was on, at the time, about 4 days, no food, no water. I didn't think you could make it 3 days without water. I thought 3 days was the max. Apparently,
this guy's like Bear Grylls out here.
I know, right? Apparently, if you're just bedridden, you can really make it about 2 weeks. If you're active, you need water more than that. But he's completely bedridden. So take the kids over, take Sarah over. We go there on Saturday, and you know, we spend about 30 minutes in there. Kids say goodbye, all that stuff. That was Saturday. Sunday, I go back, say hi to him again. I mean, he's lifeless. There's nothing there. My mom texts on Monday, so the 30th, and she said the hospice nurse came in. His vital signs were very, very low, indicating that, you know, he's really close to the end. She thinks he'll last probably another 2 weeks tops. And I'm like, Ma, I've heard this story before. You know, he's been dying for 2 years now. Any day now. So either way, I go over there. I meet my younger sister. She texts me. She goes, hey, do you want to go over? So we go over there, and he looked, so frail. Like he had lost 20 pounds of muscle overnight.
Wow.
I brought one of those little finger things, those oxygen things. It tests your blood oxygen level. It's supposed to be like above 94. His was like in the high 80s, right? So it's very low oxygen. And when he was breathing, he had a lot of rat, like the death rattle. You hear the death rattle where you're breathing in and all you hear is like phlegm. Oh, so I didn't know if it was congestion or phlegm. I kind of knew what it was. So that was on Monday. Stayed there. We say goodbye again. And then we get to Tuesday morning. And my mom was like, he declined even more overnight. We're going to go on over there. Okay. I go over there 2:00 in the afternoon.
Do you know, like, at this point, like, this is...
We know that this is... It's coming.
Yeah.
We know. So Tuesday, on the 31st, I go over there around 2:00. And she said they gave him morphine in the morning. They're going to start giving him morphine every day because the rattling, just keep him comfortable. And man, I walk in there and it was like a completely different person. His mouth was, is it a gape? Mm-hmm. It was open and like, it was like frozen. Everything was like frozen. He's like, it's like hanging out. And you could just see in his mouth. And like prior to that, he was doing the dad nap. Like it was just like back, mouth open, just dad napping. This was completely different. We stay there from about 2 to about 3:30, leave, go home. I was like, you know what? I need to go home. I need to catch up on some Yellowstone. Okay, because nothing says I want to take my mind off my dad dying quite like Beth Dutton. Okay, that's what this thing says.
I thought you were going to say Kristen Bell with her cameo appearance.
There you go. Very nice. I haven't gotten to that part yet.
No, not yet.
I haven't gotten to that part
yet. You're going to have to freeze frame it.
Yeah. So I go over to my mom's on New Year's Eve. Dinner's at 6. I said, I'll be there at 5:58. The less time I have to spend with you people, the better. I get there right at 6:00. And I'm already in a bad mood. They had eaten all the chips. My mom didn't get enough chips, didn't get enough crackers for the pre-meal. Very upset about that. 6:15-ish, 6:20, we're getting ready to eat. The phone rings. And I said, crap. I didn't recognize that it wasn't my phone. It was hers. But I was sitting there, and it was right next to me. And I see she picks it up. She goes in the other room. She goes in the bedroom. And she's in there about 30 seconds. And I knew. I was like, I'm going to go in there. I walk in, and I hear her say, so what do we do now? And I look at her, and she gives me one of these, it's the Jonah Hill meme, it's not the
cut
slice.
Cut it.
Yeah, it's not, you're not doing the Chris Benoit, you know, they just cut it. So I call my sisters in, and, you know, my mom had never cried.
Throughout this whole process?
The whole process. She had never cried. She gets off the phone, and, you know, he had passed away.
She cried more over the last election.
She definitely cried more over the last, not this one, the previous one. Yeah, this one, it was tears of joy. So she, my sister hugs her, and oh man, she broke down in like yelling cry. These are screaming cries.
Dang.
And I hadn't heard anything like this since my Aunt Germaine, when my Uncle Frank died. She was like this hysterical old Italian. And she got on the casket to try to kiss him, knocked the casket over.
No.
Oh.
Whoa.
Is this the guy whose pinky ring you got?
No, that was my grandpa's pinky ring.
All right, what's his name?
Gus.
Gus and Frank.
Gus and Frank. So she knocked it over. But at the funeral, she was telling everybody, Frank, Virginia didn't show up to your funeral, Frank. And she was telling him who didn't show up to his own funeral.
Outing people.
She was outing people. Yeah. What a lunatic this lady was. So we find out he passed away.
Screenshot and a producer.
Yeah. We found out that he passed away on New Year's Eve. And we immediately go to the home again. I'm like, get in the car. Let's go. I'm driving. My mom's in tears. My sisters can't see over the steering wheel. They're too short. So I'm like, get in the truck if you can get up there, if you can climb it. I got those steps that you get in. Yeah. And we go there. And let me tell you, if you have never seen a dead body before it had gone through the embalming process, don't.
And what is the embalming?
That's like
it's the fluid. It's the stuff they put in there so that they're like that you can more basically together. Have them shown.
The color, it had been maybe 2 hours. He was yellow. Like, it looked like it was yellowish green. It was the most.
Jeez.
You know, I didn't cry when I found out. When I saw him, I was like, oh. Because that's not life. That was like the most lifeless I had ever seen him. So I was like, yeah, I didn't cry. Really, my eyes teared up. Right. Yeah. I got a little choked up. Was it verklempt? Is that what they said in Saturday Night Live? I got a little choked up. I didn't really have a good cry until yesterday morning. I didn't tell my kids. I didn't tell. They were at parties on New Year's Eve. I was like, I'm not going to bother them. Let them enjoy it. I go pick them up.
But after. They kind of knew, right?
They knew.
Because you the days prior.
Yeah. And I talked to Luca. When I picked up Luca from this party, because he spent the night. They both did. They said the first thing I told him is Papa died. He goes, I figured. And I go, why? He goes, because I texted Grandma asking how he was, and she didn't respond. But she had read it. So he knew. He knew that she had died. My dad died on New Year's Eve, which, you know, he's the ultimate ball buster.
Oh, yeah.
He was the ultimate ball buster. And he got two really good ones in here. First of all, he ruined New Year's Eve for us.
Oh, yeah. All from right? now on.
From now on.
From now on, every year.
Yeah, and it's his favorite holiday. It was his favorite holiday.
Really?
It was his favorite holiday, and he's like, screw you guys, I'm keeping this.
Wow.
Okay, this is mine.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. And secondly, you know, I had always wanted him to die in the morning. So, while I'm at work, okay, so.
Oh, I thought, Bobby, you said that RJ didn't want it to happen in the morning.
He didn't. The way I recall it is you didn't want to be told until after the show was over.
I wanted to be able to break the news. Good ratings.
Yep.
Right? Okay, I wanted that.
Yes.
Holiday
book, though.
But
Ralph,
also,
can you die, like, in the new corner?
But nah. Also, like, my plan was always, I want to go, as soon as the show's over, I want to go play golf by myself. That's the one thing I wanted to do. And, you know, because he died at, like, 5 o'clock on New Year's Eve. It's dark. I couldn't go play golf.
Yeah.
So he ruined my whole plan. Very selfish. Very selfish of him.
Go to Topgolf.
Very, very selfish. And he did it also, he did it while I was on vacation. I couldn't even take the next day off of work.
I know.
I mean, come on.
I know.
I mean, where is his heart?
I texted Choppy. I was like, thinking about this with Amanda all morning long. I tried to consult with Bobby, who didn't wake up till 1:15, like a freaking teenager. And I'm like, I didn't know how to ask if you're going to be here today. And I didn't want it to come across as like, hey, we need to know how much to prep. Do we prep more, Choppy? Like, what's going on? So I was like side texting Choppy. And I told Amanda, she goes, he's not going to be at work. I said, no, Choppy is a type. I could see him there. I could definitely see him there today. Keep his mind off. Stay busy. Because I had texted you. I was like, all right, just let us know when you're coming back and what you want us to say about it. And immediately he's like, I think I'd rather go to work.
Yeah, it was like, it was not really like even a discussion.
Really?
I just taken all this vacation time.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to get back to work. You know, so like, well, yeah, but what I wouldn't give, like, I really wanted to play one more round of golf with him. Now, we would have gotten booted off the course for slow play.
Slow play.
Slow play. And I don't play with slow people.
Yeah.
So I would not have played with him at this point.
Been wheeling him down the car pass instead of just the golf cart.
But I remember the last time I played with him. It was at,
could he play?
Oh, he was great. I love playing golf with him. He was like, you know, he was a really good player.
I know he could
player.
Play the drums. I didn't know he played golf.
He was really good at playing the drums. He was really good at golf. He taught me the game. It was, you know, really, really awesome. But yeah, so my dad died on New Year's Eve. And now, regrettably, I have lost the joking high ground with Bobby. Because I used to be able to say, at least I have a mom. And now he could say, at least I have a dad.
Gosh.
So
now I have to take off Mother's and Father's Day around here. Because I don't want to be around you two.
So he's he passed on New Year's Eve. And it's good. That's no way to live.
You've been saying for years, I mean, at least months, you know, if you could pull the plug, you would. Because he just... he was a vegetable.
Yeah, he was. I
thought when you were starting off the story, you were leading to, you had to make a decision to do something.
Oh yeah, there's no plug. He wasn't hooked up to anything. I mean, I was sitting there listening to him rattle, and I was there with my sister, and I was like, man, I just put my hand over his mouth, just like let him just put him out of his misery. So we're not going to do a funeral anytime soon. He's getting cremated. We got family that lives out of state. We're just going to give him time to get in town, and we'll probably do it sometime in February. So,
well, I mean, I when I first heard him and saw him, I was like, this guy has to be on the radio. We have to do a segment with him. So, Choppy, for you old school Tolos, we had a segment called Sunday Dinner, and RJ would just record what was happening again, around your stereotypical Sopranos Sunday dinner table, and his freaking accent and his lines and his delivery. I'll never forget Marie Andolini, all these different things. I mean, he was so freaking entertaining. I like both your parents a lot, but I knew your dad was such a great character. Obviously, it sucks. And I was wondering to myself, I'm like, were you... It's a double-edged sword where you were so prepared for this for such a long time, but in order to be prepared for it, you have to go in there and look at your dad like that. You have to go in there and you have to go through that suffering, right? So, like, if it happens instantly and out of the blue, that's the devastating shock, but you wouldn't have to go and watch someone suffer to that degree for so long. So I didn't know how you were looking at it.
Look, there's a finality of it that is hard to take, right? I haven't like really broken down much in this whole process. But the finality of it does suck, even though I haven't had a conversation with him in 5 years because he's basically been, unable to have one.
And unaware of you?
I mean, he hasn't known who I am, any of our names, for years.
Yeah.
Somehow we're in the car one day. This is probably 2 years ago. He didn't know who I was. But damn if he didn't know the words to Sundown by Gordon Lightfoot. So it's like, what's going on here? I know where I stand. But the last thing I said to him is, I may not have a hole in one, but I'll beat your ass in the golf course any day of the week. The last thing I said to him.
Did you find all that time to process it? Because I know you said you felt like you had already processed it and everything else. Did you find that all that time to process it almost like lulled you, though? Into a way of like, oh, I'm so prepared that you're almost kind of, it did surprise you how much it hit you when it was final?
Yes. Because like when, like I said, when I saw him a couple days ago and he was like, they had given him the morphine. This is on the 31st before a couple hours before he died. We missed, we were there. We left about an hour before he died, I wanted to make sure I had no regrets, right? No regrets, because we kept seeing him. And that's the difference between this and if it's like a sudden thing. We had a chance to say goodbye several times. But nothing prepared me for seeing him after he had passed, 2 hours after. I don't know how they do it in those mortuaries. I don't know how.
Any relief?
Yeah. I mean, the relief is like, you don't have to worry about him living like that. He wasn't living.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was having any kind of like, nobody knows what goes on in the human brain. Maybe he was having these great dreams all day. Maybe it was just like he was living in complete bliss. But I can't imagine.
Well, we're sorry. Love the guy. Not surprised that you're here trooping it out at work. Let us know what you need. And of course, the Tolos are lighting up the Fantex and everything else. Awesome, entertaining dude. May have to dig up some Sunday dinner clips for a little bit later on. How old was he?
1946, so 78. He'll be 79 this year, yeah.
Chop Senior. Love you. Commercial-free expressway right here on 105.3 The Fan. We didn't do it yesterday. We'll do it today. Around the NFL power rankings, 1 through 5, 5 through 1, as the playoffs are about to be upon us next.